You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Settery, joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue. To finally, Stephen, recap some news for the Colts who have been really dead for the first couple weeks of free agency so far. And finally, it's some small moves in the margins, honestly, Stephen, but at least we got some news to talk about. We also saw the Carson Wentz press conference late last week. But let's start off with the biggest news. I know we have a couple small signs we'll get to in just a minute, but Xavier Rhodes this weekend was re-signed by the Colts on a one-year, $6.5 million deal. What was your impressions of that signing, Stephen? Because from what we saw in the quarterback market, we covered all last week, really dried up very fast when you looked around the market at the first few days of the illegal tampering period. But surprisingly, I put this out on Twitter, on the Locked On Colts Twitter account last week after the Rhodes signing happened. But you see guys like Patrick Peterson from Arizona, who obviously has a good reputation around the league, but was really, really bad last year for Arizona, almost like what Xavier Rhodes did in his last year in Minnesota, signed for $10 million on a one-year deal with the Vikings. The Colts instead get Xavier Rhodes for $3.5 million cheaper at 1 year, $6.5 million. And according to what Stephen Holder mentioned, it's probably escalators in that as well. It's going to be even a cheaper cap hit than the $6.5 million expected. So it might just end up being around $5 or $6 million with some escalators involved in that, Stephen. So for both sides, I mean, surprisingly enough, Xavier Rhodes kind of taking a risk here, betting on himself in this Colts scheme, which I don't blame him with the way he played last year. He keeps that up next year with the salary cap going up by around $30 million. He should cash in next year and the Colts should get a high comp pick in 2023, or he could get a long-term deal by the Colts at that point if he has another good year. But it seems like to me, Stephen, from the Colts side of things, that's a hell of a deal to get Xavier Rhodes with the way he played last year on a less than $7 million pure contract for 1 year.
Yeah, Evan, it's an absolute steal of a deal for Chris Ballard and the Colts. After seeing a couple of guys that were probably similar in terms of their play, if not played a little worse than Xavier Rhodes did last year, get more money, some more years. It was surprising that the Colts were able to get him back for as cheap as they did. I expected him to be probably up in that $8 to $9 million a year range. So to get him for $6.5 million, and that would include those escalators, it's Chris Ballard working his magic again. And that's all you can really say to it. It's a great fit for Xavier Rhodes. He, again, is, like you said, betting on himself. And if he's only going to sign a one-year deal, it made the most sense to come back to a defense that he's already familiar with, a defense that he's already excelled in once. That it just makes too much sense for him and his representation to want to come back to that stable environment there in Indianapolis versus going to, like, betting on yourself. Say maybe you get, you know, $7 million from someplace else, but you go to a place, you know, like the Giants or, you know, like Denver, where who knows what their defense is going to be and whether you're going to be a good fit in it. And so I think it was just a great move by Xavier Rhodes to come back. If he's only signed in a 1 year deal for just marginally more money, or, you know, looking to try to bank in for next year when that cap really does explode, which is what we're all kind of expecting, that it's going to go up significantly from this year. But to take that opportunity to bet on himself, the most sense for him was Indianapolis. And for the Colts, you know, once Kyle Fuller went and signed, like, immediately with Denver, like, within minutes after being released, he had a $9 million contract with Denver or something like that. I think the Colts' sole focus went to Xavier Rhodes. Said, hey, man, let's work this out. Let's get these last details hashed out. Let's get you back in the fold for at least this year. And then we'll see.
I think it's fair to say, Steven, I mean, you could have a legit argument last year with how the Colts were on defense, that Xavier Rhodes is like a top three, top four most important piece to this defense. You obviously have Darius Leonard, you have DeForest Buckner, but Kenny Moore at the nickel is a very unique piece to have there. But for Xavier Rhodes as a veteran leader in this defensive back room, and for someone that really fared well for himself last year in Matty Bruce's zone scheme, he had a career best PFF grade last year as well, spanning over his whole career, which really says something about just, I think, the player and team fit right now between Rhodes and the Colts. I had to think bringing back Rhodes for 1 year, especially when we see the schedule next year of all the quarterbacks we're facing, the NFC West and the AFC East,
Like, I think bringing back Rhodes, when we saw the cornerback market dry up, really maybe went to number one, the most important thing to do for Chris Ballard over the last couple of days.
Yeah, and something that we've talked about before that's an underrated aspect of Xavier Rhodes was how much of a teacher he was to those in the cornerback room. And Kenny Moore specifically had made the comment about how much Xavier Rhodes taught him in terms of being a professional and you know, kind of expanding on his game and with the details, the finer points that, you know, there's a lot of veterans that come in and are like, all right, I'm here for the paycheck. And they come in, do their job, check out, and that's it. Xavier Rhodes was clearly a leader and clearly a leader in the cornerback room. And I think the Colts valued that, obviously. They brought him back. But that's one of those kind of unspoken benefits of having Xavier Rhodes back that not a lot of people realize how beneficial it is in that locker room, in that cornerback room, to have somebody that is a willing teacher to those younger guys that know, hey, look, I'm not going to be around forever, but I'm going to try to help you guys. I'm going to try to help the next generation to become better cornerbacks and play better defense here in the NFL. And that's something that I think is completely underrated about Xavier Rhodes that the Colts really valued in this situation.
Think of it this way too, Steven. Last point here on Rhodes before we dive into our next topic. The Colts have gotten Rhodes the last 2 years for a two-year, $9.5 million deal. Like, for me, if you put it in that perspective, and that's just what Kyle Fuller just got from Denver for $9.5 million a year. Patrick Peterson got $10 million from Minnesota for 2 years to get $9.5 million total off that. That's incredible.
Oh yeah, it Chris Ballard's magician in terms of bringing guys in. He doesn't go above his number, and when the musical chairs start, when that music stops, you got to have a chair. And you know, when it comes to the market and you see all the other chairs start to go in the quarterback position, you're starting to see that here with the wide receiver position too, is you sit there and you go, okay, well, I've got to find a seat. Where's the best place for me to succeed? Because obviously I'm not getting a long-term deal this year. And for Xavier Rhodes and the Colts, it was a perfect match for this offseason specifically.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online is powerful on new scores and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or your mobile device right now, sign up today, and receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. Let's go on now to two former Los Angeles Chargers who are now Indianapolis Colts. The first one in the first feed is a free agency, a surprising name for the first outside name in free agency, a former Notre Dame product, Isaac Rochelle, the defensive end, defense tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers. He signed on a one-year, $3.5 million deal. He gets $1.3 million guaranteed at signing, and there's a $250,000 signing bonus to an average salary of $2.5 million. That could go up to $3.5 million based on incentives. It seems like to me, Steven, I mean, unless they do re-sign him, I know many people want to say Isaac Rochelle could be the next Danico Autry, but with the way they're paying Rochelle compared to what they paid Danico Autry 3 years ago, I think maybe Rochelle is more so the Al-Kadeem Muhammad replacement than a Danico Autry replacement. When you look at the numbers and look at his fit, he could play inside, he could play outside a little bit as well, set the edge as a rotational piece. What's your opinion of Isaac Rochelle, the former Notre Dame product, landing back in Indy?
Yeah, I don't think that they brought him in to start. I think that he's a rotational piece for the defensive line. I think he's going to probably – I'd say you're probably right. He's probably going to fill in more than that Al-Kadeem Muhammad role. Maybe if they expect Tyquan Lewis to start this next year, he might be filling in for what Tyquan Lewis was last year, kind of as a rotational defensive end, a body to have just in case somebody goes down, where you feel at least comfortable that he's not going to just totally screw everything up. And so, yeah, the signing didn't really move the needle much to me, because I look at that as, okay, this is a depth signing. It's not a, all right, this is the edge rusher that they decided they wanted to like truly invest in. And you can tell that by the amount of money they give him. I mean, 1 year, $3 million, something like that, $1.5 million. It's not a lot of money. I don't think that even qualifies for compensatory picks, anything like that. So yeah, it's pretty clear he's a depth guy. So that's kind of where I place it. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, when you see Isaac Rochelle's numbers during his tenure with the Los Angeles Chargers, there's really nothing much to really come home about with Rochelle, because you see, like in L.A., he was a rotational piece over the last couple of years. He had 2.5 sacks for the Chargers last season in 16 games. He started 6 of them. Over 51 games with the Chargers, he started only 9 games, and he had 9.5 sacks over his 4-year span. His breakout year really was in 2018, when he had 5 sacks in a rotational role for the Chargers. Ever since then, he's only had 4.5 sacks in the other 3 years. Really, to me, Steven, I mean, it'd be a huge projection on Chris Ballard's part to say, hey, this guy is the Nico Autry. I know we saw Jamilo Vandestar point out similar numbers between Autry and Rochelle in their first 4 years in the NFL, with Autry in Oakland, and then we see Rochelle in L.A. But like we just mentioned there, I'd be very surprised to see if Rochelle becomes a starter this year. I think he's more so the Al-Kaleem Muhammad replacement, who we've heard nothing about with the Colts so far. So it seems like that those two sides might be moving on from each other, and Rochelle takes Al-Kaleem Muhammad's place in the rotation as a strong side defensive end. But let's go on to Sam Tevy now of the Los Angeles Chargers, the offensive tackle, around the same age as Isaac Rochelle, actually. But this is a scary number I found while I was looking at Sam Tevy's numbers, Steven. His PFF grade was almost 10 points worse last year than Chaz Green, which kind of says maybe a lot about who Sam Tevy is. He's been a 3-year starter with the Chargers at left and right tackle, a lot of versatility as a swing tackle. I posted this and wrote about it on Twitter as well, that he's really been a consistent starter since 2018, but I think he's more so, more than anything, a Joe Haig replacement, where they really missed that last year as far as having a swing tackle be a 6 offensive lineman in some jumbo packages, can play left and right, can kick inside if need be as well. It seems like Sam Tevy is only 26 years old, could be the new version of Joe Haig. We still have the contract details out just yet on Tevy. I imagine, like Rochelle, it's a cheap 1-year deal. What's your opinion of Sam Tevy, Steven, who seems to be now the Colts are trying to, like we saw last year, how bad Chaz Green was, might have cost him a game or two with not addressing offensive tackle depth. Chris Bauer's making an emphasis early on in free agency to at least scour around and find some backup tackles.
Yeah, this seems like it's a swing tackle option for the Colts. I don't think the Chris Ballard's bringing a guy in at what's like a 1-year deal, probably pretty cheap, to be the starting left tackle for this 1 year. I think you're right. I think he's that Joe Haig. He's got experience, like you said, starting left and right tackle with the San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers now. And so that's valuable in and of itself. And there are some things to like about Sam Tevy. I know PFF was not a huge fan. I'm not always the biggest proponent of PFF grades, but there are certain things that you do like with Sam Tevy. He's able to get out in space. He obviously has some issues. I want to say one of the Titans people brought up that Sam Tevy in their one game against the Titans last year gave up 7 pressures, and Anthony Costanzo, who they were like, well, he's obviously playing left tackle. And I'm like, I wouldn't make that jump just yet. But Anthony Costanzo gave up 7 pressures since 2017 against the Tennessee Titans. So over an 8-game span, gave up 7 pressures versus Sam Tevy, who gave it all 7 pressures up in one game. I don't think Sam Tevy is brought in as a starter. I think you're right. I think he's brought in as that swing tackle, a guy that's got valuable experience on both sides. So if anything happens, he can step in a pinch. And I mean, you don't feel like great about it. You never feel great when your starter goes down, but you at least have got somebody that's experienced and competent. And that's what you want in a swing tackle. You don't want to throw out a rookie if you don't have to. I do think that the left tackle position, though, as Jim Irsay mentioned in his press conference that he did, will be a drafted rookie there at the left tackle position. That Jim Irsay all but just told us what the Colts were going to do early in the draft and get a left tackle. So that's where I kind of expect it to be with Tevi. Is he's a swing tackle and another depth piece that I think can be valuable. He's got experience. That's what you want. And so that's where I think Chris Ballard's going with that pick.
Yeah, real quickly, maybe this was an oversight by the Colts, not to maybe like blur this out, but I sent this over to you when I saw it on Twitter a couple of days ago this weekend, that during the Carson Wentz video the Colts production team made and him meeting Frank Reich in the coach's office, do you know what was on Frank Reich's monitor, Steven? Because this is what really threw me off. I saw from @Groth_E on Twitter. He's one of the more insightful Colts followers out there, if you guys know about him. But he posted a screenshot of this, and it really caught my eye because I went back and watched videos to make sure it was legit, and it was. Somehow, some way, it was not blurred out. But there was Frank Reich in his, next to his office chair on the big screen next to his desk watching Sam Cosmi pro day tape. So it just makes you think, Steven, that, I mean, maybe Sam Cosmi's their guy. Maybe it seems like all but for certain now that whether it be Cosmi or someone else, that the left tackle is for sure what they're targeting in the draft.
And one thing that we know about Chris Ballard is he likes athletes. And Kent Lee Platt, he's got a Twitter account at MathBomb, and he does what's called RAS, which is relative athletic scores. And Sam Cosmi, based on the reported info from his little Texas pro day, Sam Cosmi scored a perfect 10 on that and is ranked number one out of almost 1,100 offensive tackles from 1987 to now. That have been had all their numbers from the pro days from the combine put in to his algorithm. Sam Cosmi ranked number one. Chris Ballard, over the course of his tenure as GM, has been the highest in terms of GMs that take players that score in an elite level in this relative athletic score. And so it's something that, you know, Chris Ballard may not look at this specifically, but he looks at those athletic traits and he drafts for those. And that's one of the reasons why over the course of the past 4 years, he's been the most successful GM in terms of draft picks, hitting on a ton of his picks, no matter what. And so I thought it was interesting because when you sent that to me, I go, oh man, is that really Cosmi? Like, that's crazy that they left that screenshot of Frank Reich's TV there right in the background. And sure enough, like you see part of the Texas Longhorn logo there in the middle of the field. And you're like, wow, all right, maybe that's the guy, you know. And Sam Cosmi is an absolute athlete when it comes to the left tackle position. And he's got great movement. He's fluid. He's got some really great traits. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Colts were looking at that position and saying, hey, look, we can move back, you know, 5-8 spots and still get a guy that we really like at the left tackle position. But you know, it may not be Sam Cosmi, but you know that they're doing their due diligence at that position specifically early in the draft. So I expect the Colts to be taking a left tackle either in the first round or early second round if they end up trading back, because that just makes the most sense for them and how they want to build this team. It's what we've talked about before, in terms of how much money they've spent in the offensive line thus far and what they're about to spend, and why what their rationale has been as to why they haven't brought in any big name free agents is they've got these extensions coming for Braden Smith and Quentin Nelson, and then obviously Darius Leonard as well. But mainly on the offensive line, looking at Smith and Nelson, they want to save some money there at the left tackle position. Drafting a left tackle is pretty much the only one that really makes sense if you want long-term viability there at the offensive tackle or that left tackle position.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's time for Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is coconut versus birthday cake with sprinkles. I think personally, I go with birthday cake with sprinkles. I actually tried today for the first time. Absolutely incredible. And what's really a great thing about all the Built Bars is it tastes nothing like a protein bar. They taste just like a candy bar, which makes them, quite honestly, from trying all the protein bars out there, easily the best one I've ever had. Remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 50% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, that is LOCK15, LOCKED15, to get 50% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup. and who will become the best tasting protein bar ever at BuiltBar.com. The NFL draft is weeks away. It's time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft Duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, and like you mentioned with the RAS score, another guy from this past year's draft for the Colts, Danny Penter, was elite in RAS too. Like, I'm looking at his player profiler right now, 90th percentile on the 40-yard dash, 96th percentile speed score. Like, he loves his athletes at tackle and overall at the offensive line, and Danny Penter could play across that. And he certainly showed last year he is an athlete. And Sam Cosmi could definitely be that guy who also rates as a Blue Star prospect, team captain as well. So Cosmi is someone to watch out for. I just thought it was funny that when we saw that on Twitter, it really caught my eye that they didn't blur that out. But hopefully we'll get more on the draft here as we get closer to it next month. But, Steven, let's dive in now to the next topic of our show, going over an intriguing visit on tap for the Indianapolis Colts. Sammy Watkins, Steven, is going to be visiting the Indianapolis Colts here on Wednesday if he does not sign a deal with the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow when he visits there. We also heard about the Houston Texans being interested, the Tennessee Titans being interested as well. So it sounds like Watkins is about to start his visits here around the NFL. What do you believe of Sammy Watkins and what he has left? Because when I saw this come across my ticker on Twitter, I was like, whoa. I mean, this kind of threw me off a little bit because Sammy Watkins has been a starter. He's been injured a lot, underachieved a little bit his last year in Kansas City. But before that, I mean, in the Chiefs Super Bowl run, he was key in that playoff run for them. Like, he was making consistent deep ball catches for them. He was dominant in the Super Bowl as well over San Francisco. I know he has some maybe checkered history as far as injuries and off the field go, but man, when he's on, Sammy Watkins is on. He's only 27 years old, surprisingly. I thought he'd be close to 30, but he's still in the prime of his career at 27. This does not discount them from signing T.Y. Hilton, Steven, but visiting Sammy Watkins, which they will be doing here on Wednesday, kind of gives you a lot of possibilities for what the Colts could be thinking here.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. For me, I think that T.Y. Hilton's still the primary target for Chris Ballard and the Colts to re-sign. Sammy Watkins seems like more so doing their due diligence just in case T.Y. decides to go elsewhere, because, I mean, quite honestly, no matter what T.Y. gets paid, he's earned it. And if he gets that somewhere else, good for him. I, of course, you know, as a fan, would love to have T.Y. back. And I think the hashtag bring T.Y. home or something along those lines was trending on Twitter the other day. And so I think that Sammy Watkins would be an interesting choice because he's shown that at times he can be a really reliable weapon. To be honest, when you started into the conversation about this, I had to look up because I was like, how old is Sammy Watkins? And I was like, I feel like he's been in the league forever. But you're right. He's only 27. And so when Kansas City won the Super Bowl, he was key to that because they needed somebody opposite Tyreek Hill Travis Kelce that could make plays, and Sammy Watkins was that guy. So he might be some like a Chris Ballard's kind of kicking the wheels, see where he's at, see whether they can get him for on the cheap like they've done with literally every other free agent they've brought in, even their own at this point. And so I don't think that he's their primary option. I think T.Y. is still the main guy that the Colts are trying to get back in, but it's more or less a security just in case T.Y. does decide to go elsewhere to have somebody on the back burner that you could potentially sign.
Yeah, Watkins has not played a full 16 games in the NFL since his rookie season in 2014. He's played 10 last year in 2020, 14 in 2019, 10 in 2018. We saw 8 in 2016 as well. Really, the injury bug has bitten Watkins a lot over the years. So maybe in like a limited role in Indy, playing less snaps, he can maybe play a full 16 games. In his biggest production season over the last couple of years in Kansas City in 2019, when the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl, he had 52 receptions for 673 yards and 3 touchdowns on 90 targets. Like I mentioned, was a key in their playoff run as well. But this is an intriguing thought in my head, Steve, when I saw the Watkins news come across my timeline. And let's say hypothetically they do sign Sammy Watkins to a cheap one-year deal, and they do want to bring back T.Y. Hilton. Sammy Watkins has always been an outside Z receiver, Steven. He's never played in the slot. He's always been one that vertically stretches the defense from the opposite side, opposite of an X receiver. You have that with Michael Pittman Jr. you have, if you were to sign Sammy Watkins, your new Z receiver, what if T.Y. Hilton, I mean, we talked before in the podcast a couple weeks ago, Steven, I really like the idea of T.Y. in the slot more and more as he tries to extend his career in the NFL. I do like the idea if they were to go for Sammy Watkins, you could have Watkins as your Z, Pittman as your X, T.Y. as your slot, and Paris Campbell as your gadget guy. I really like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The good thing about that and moving T.Y. to the slot is that T.Y. last year, if you watched most of his games, he had trouble getting off press coverage. When he lines up in the slot, he's the cornerback's not right up on his face. And so he's got a little space. He's got a little built-in separation there from that slot position because the slot position itself is usually about a yard or two back from the line of scrimmage. So it gives T.Y. some movement or some space to get away from that press. And if T.Y. can get space, he's still very good. And when Paris Campbell came out, I was reviewing wide receivers for the St. Pete Blue draft guide, and I looked at it and I go, man, he's – I don't know what he is yet because at Ohio State, he ran a very limited route trio, a lot of wheel routes, a lot of just quick stuff, bubble screens, things like that to get him the ball and have him go. He was always the gadget guy. And so the Colts could use him in that role again, and he's very knowledgeable about that role and being the guy that is, like you said, like the gadget guy that can do these little trick plays, do things like that. And he's got the speed. Well, he will absolutely burn you if you make a misstep. And so I don't mind that idea of putting Sammy Watkins on one side, T.Y. there in the slot, and then using Pittman on the far side, and then having T.Y. in the slot with Paris Campbell kind of motioning in, motioning out, trying to get him on some mismatches. I think that's a really effective way. And again, that's one of the benefits of having Carson Wentz as the quarterback, because now that's official as well, that it opens up Frank Reich's offense to be more what he really wants it to be, because he's not had that yet in Indianapolis with Jacoby Brissett that first year. We all know how mobile Jacoby Brissett is. I mean, Andrew Luck that second year, but then like he really didn't open up that offense till about halfway through the season because they were still trying to figure out what was going on with Andrew Luck. Then you had Jacoby Brissett again, then you had Phillip Rivers. So, you know, Frank Reich's offense for 4 years has really had like 3.5 years of that with a quarterback that's just not mobile, or that they didn't want to run. And now you've got Carson Wentz back there who is mobile, who can get out of the pocket if he needs to, who keeps his eyes downfield and can be a playmaker. And the defenses have to respect that. So having those two guys, Sammy Watkins and Michael Pittman on the outside, T.Y. in the slot, and then having the threat of Paris Campbell, of Nyheim Hines, or Jonathan Taylor, it really opens up the offense and could be just a really explosive offense here in Indianapolis for next year or the next couple of years.
Let's go on to the last part of our show, Steven. We've heard a lot from Colts fans, even Colts writers, over the last week or so with how quiet they've been in free agency, signing these cheap guys like Isaac Rochelle, Sam Tevy. We don't know the details on that contract just yet, but I imagine it's going to be a very cheap $1 to $2 million deal for a backup swing tackle on a 1 year deal. I have to imagine that'll be the eventual details we hear leak out. But we see Rochelle get only $2.5 to $3 million. Xavier Rhodes is a re-sign on a 1 year, $6.5 million deal. The Colts still have around $35 million in cap space, Steven, after the Carson Wentz trade, and with these cheap deals, maybe it's close to $30 million now. But we heard from Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport over this weekend. They probably just heard from a lot of people asking about why the Colts been so quiet, why they've been missing on all these edge guys. And there's been a lot of mention, and almost simultaneously, Rapoport and Schefter tweeted the same thing, so they probably got it from the same source, about how the Colts are trying to save their money for extensions that are going to be massive, that are going to reset the market of their positions for Quentin Nelson, for Darius Leonard. And you tie in as well, Braden Smith is going to be a top three, top five paid right tackle in the NFL here. Nyheim Hines, you shouldn't forget about as well. He's going to be probably in that Tariq Cohen range for a new contract as well, around $6 to $7 million per year. I think for me, Steven, I mean, I was doing the hypothetical math in my head. You add in Carson Wentz at $25 million annual salary, DeForest Buckner at $21 million annual salary, Darius Leonard, probably around $19, $20 million. Quentin Nelson, around $18 to $20 million. He's going to really reset that market for an offensive guard. Braden Smith, around $15 million per year. They'll make him a top three right tackle in the NFL. That's $100 million in five guys on your roster with Wentz, Buckner, Leonard, Nelson, and Smith eventually. So I know those salary cuts could be around $230 million. With the next couple of years, I think it's going to be closer to $200 million in 2022. But that's almost half the Colts cap space next year tied into five guys. So we're going to be seeing a lot of conservation from the Colts here, Steven, because they know like the window to spend really might be over for them, just because, at least for the next couple of years, because that historic 2018 draft class featuring Leonard, Nelson, and Smith are all going to be paid top of the market deals and maybe even reset them as well.
Yeah, the tough part about that is those deals, like, for example, when guys like Darius Leonard, Braden Smith sign extensions, they're being second-round picks, they get a four-year contract. So this next year is the last year of their deal. If they sign an extension, the only thing that gets applied to this cap is the signing bonus, whatever that money is. Chris Ballard has been notorious of giving very small signing bonuses and putting a lot of guaranteed money in that first year or two. When you look at, for example, DeForest Buckner's contract, I think there was little to no signing bonus on there on his extension. And the big cap number was this past year. And then I believe there's another one, like there's a decent sized cap number this year in 2021. And then that cap number drops just massively in 2022. So DeForest Buckner got most of his money up front. Ryan Kelly got most of his money up front in these contracts. And so what Chris Ballard is doing is tying cash to caps. And that's basically not giving big signing bonuses, because when you give big signing bonuses, it's kind of like getting a mortgage or, you know, paying with credit cards for something. Is you've got, you know, this money that you're paying off up front, but then over time, you have to pay it all back versus just paying cash for something right up front. So the trouble is, if you start giving big signing bonuses like teams like the Saints have done, like the Steelers have done, like the Eagles did, is when the time comes when those players either are no longer valuable and you have to cut them, or you have to trade them, or they decide to retire, all that money that you kept pushing off by doing these signing bonuses, things like that, and prorating these salaries, it all comes due at the same time. So that's when you get that $34 million cap charge that the Eagles are going to eat for Carson Wentz to play for the Colts this year. That's where you get the $23 million cap charge that I think Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford are applying to their respective former teams. And so I think Chris Ballard, when it comes to these contracts, he's going to do it very, very wise, in that he's going to tie cash to cap as best he can. And they're going to be probably, you know, lower amount of money in those first 2 years. It's going to go big when they expect that big salary cap bump to come in, and then it's going to come back down to earth. So then they're going to be able to have that money available to sign other guys. And so Chris Ballard and whoever is helping with contract negotiations over there for the Colts have been just brilliant in the way that they've set up contract structures. Thus far, I can't see that changing anytime, because they like to just pay their guys up front, make sure those guaranteed monies are in that those first 2 years. And then if something goes wrong with the player, then you're out with after 2 years. But if something goes right, you've saved yourself a bunch of money because you've given that those big contracts up front. And these guys are playing for, you know, I think it's like $8 million for DeForest Buckner, like going in like 2023, something like that. But it's massively less than what he's making now. And so the Colts have been really good about that. It's something that I expect to see when they start making these extensions. But these extensions, for me, they don't really apply so much to this year's cap unless they are trying to conserve that money to roll over to next year. If that's their plan, then this makes complete sense. If that's not their plan, then I have no idea why they didn't, you know, sign an edge rusher. There's a couple guys that went for very cheap. Tyus Bowser went for very cheap, just as an example. And so I do think that the Colts have been great when it comes to managing their cap, and I think they'll continue to do that in the future. So that's kind of what I would expect when we see these extensions come down the line. And I think they're coming soon. Within the next like couple weeks, I would imagine that they're going to make an announcement, if nothing else, you know, at least right around draft time or after the draft.
Last one here for me, Steven. I mean, unless, let's say, Zach Ertz gets cut by the Eagles, I think the Colts are kind of giving away their draft plan right now as far as what they're going to do early on. Re-signing Xavier Rhodes, bringing in Sammy Watkins for a visit. Seems like they're going to kick around at wide receiver a little bit more, even if they bring back T.Y. Hilton on the free agent market. I think, to me, we've heard it from Ursay, we've heard it from Reich, that they want to add a playmaking tight end. We covered that in last week's show. But then you also left tackle and edge rusher. I mean, right now you don't have a starting edge rusher on the roster that you had last year with Danico Autry down in Tennessee and Justin Houston still on the open market. Left tackle, the huge hole up by Anthony Costanzo. It feels like to me, Steven, the top three needs the Colts are probably going to attack early on in this year's draft are left tackle, pass rusher, and tight end. What say you?
Yeah, left tackle for sure. Left tackle is an absolute – Jim Irsay just told us. That's what they were going to do is draft a left tackle pretty early in the draft, I assume within the first three rounds. You know, you look at edge rusher, they've got to do something there. And so that makes sense. And then the Colts, you know, they've been pretty open about that. They need an F tight end. Chris Ballard made the specific comment about the F tight end or that the tight end that flexes out, that's more of a receiving tight end. He made that specific comment towards that position in his postseason press conference. And then Frank Reich mentioned it as well about needing a playmaker at the tight end position, or a receiving threat, a playmaker there, in terms of a receiving threat. And so it's pretty clear that those are the positions that they're looking at. And in this draft, there's only a handful of guys that fit that mold for the tight end position. So I think they're probably going to have to take that tight end in that second round. And that would be the one that makes the most sense to me is you take your left tackle first because you want to get your guy there. And then you take your tight end in the second. Hopefully you're able to trade back in the first, and then you pick up an extra third round pick, and then you pick up a guy like a Peyton Turner or an Ellerson Smith or a Jason Smith, something like that in the third round, where it's a guy that can come in and contribute immediately. Still some is rough around the edges, needs some work, but should be able to come in and give you at least something as a rookie. So yeah, those are the three positions I think make the most sense, especially with the re-signing of Xavier Rhodes. And then having Roland Milligan come back from COVID list, Marvell Tell decided they want to return from COVID list. Those are big guys to come back for the Colts because it really helps kind of give the Colts some depth at that second in the secondary. Because without those guys coming back, and without them re-signing Xavier Rhodes, there were a lot of question marks at the cornerback position. I feel a little bit more comfortable about that position now. So maybe we don't see a Greg Newsom early in the draft, but I think, you know, left tackle, edge, and tight end are probably, you know, maybe you toss in wide receiver there depending on what they do here in free agency. But those four positions, you know, left tackle one, edge two, tight end three, wide receiver four, that's probably the way I would rank them in order too in terms of need. Those are the positions that makes the most sense for me in the draft. And it seems like the Colts are just telling us what they're going to do. Just like Chris Ballard does like every year. He's like, I'm going to tell y'all what I'm going to do. And then he does. And then we're like, oh my goodness, he told us what he was going to do. We just didn't believe him this time. And so they've pretty much told us what they're going to do this time around. So that's what I would expect from the Colts going forward is left tackle, defensive end, tight end, and then potentially a wide receiver.
Steven, always enjoy having you on, man. Appreciate coming on here on our Monday night episode, going over finally some news about the Indianapolis Colts after a really dead first week of free agency. We have some signings, a re-signing as well. Looking ahead, the T.Y. Hilton updates as well. Hopefully it's on here on T.Y. Hilton one way or the other the next couple of days. But Steven, always enjoy having you on. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter if you're not already. Colts fans at NiceReadSteve. And go over to StampedeBlue.com to go listen to his podcast as well. Steven, appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.